Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the program tonight, especially our surrounding city and states and our countries near and far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. We'd be glad to hear from you, especially your prayer requests, prayer praises, any of those good things, we'd be glad to hear from you. Just join the conversation. Saying once again, welcome to the Wednesday Night Bible Study and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That is H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. As we get rolling out here tonight, we're going to start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you again for another day, Lord Jesus. In you, we have another way, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for each and every person listening to the program again tonight. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch each and every one of those people listening tonight. Especially, we ask you to touch that soul who is nearest hell. We ask you to help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us, so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children out there, Lord Jesus, no matter where they may be or where they may be at, Lord Jesus, we ask you the same blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, we ask you, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, Lord Jesus, first off, for the family and friends, Lord Jesus, who have lost someone due to COVID-19, Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch them and comfort them with your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then for those going through COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for these dirty, rotten situations that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to get ready to roll out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus here on the Six Eyes Radio Network here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study, brought to you again once more by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Now for a few reminders, first of all, for those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, just press the number one, join the conversation, we'll be glad to hear from you. We'd love to hear your prayer requests, prayer praises, or any of those good things, because we'd love you to join the conversation and hear from you. Amen. And also, as a reminder, Six Eyes, Department of Transportation, prohibits smoking and drinking of alcoholic beverages on board, on the Six Eyes coach, or in the restroom, which is in the rear of the coach. Please do not go into the restroom and set off the smoke detector. That includes cigarettes, pipes, crack, marijuana. Don't light or drink it on the Six Eyes coach. However, if you choose to do so anyway, then you choose to make travel arrangements with the Six Eyes Troopers Association on the outside of this coach, because you will not continue to ride on this coach. There is a restroom located at the right rear for your convenience. Use caution going to and from. Hold on to the seat backs or overhead racks for your safety. Accompany any small children and lock the door so you don't get any unexpected guests. Be sure to pick up your baggage at your next connection point. For all you entertainment lovers, please keep the volume down low or turned off and mute yourself when you're not speaking so you don't disturb myself or other passengers around you. Thank you for riding with Six Eyes. So, we'll get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, 4 F-O-R, theblind.org, here on the Six Eyes Wednesday Night Bible, here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. And welcome, everybody. So, Sister Ruth, who do we got on board with us as we pull out of the station today?
Well, we have God the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels, you and me.
All right. And we also want to remind everybody that we are still continuing this month with the donations for the bus for Holiness Bibles for the Blind, and you can make those donations right here at Six Eyes Radio Network. The two options, you'll be hearing that throughout the show, are first PayPal. You enter the email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. And for you Cash App users, that would be $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4. Again, $SIXEYES, 24. And then in both cases, you just entered the amount of the love gift as well as the name of the show, which is this one, Wednesday Night Bible Study, or just put Wednesday Night or Wednesday Bible, Wednesday Bible, Wednesday Night Bible, just Wednesday Night would work. That way we know it's Wednesday night as verse to the children's program in the early part of Wednesday. So you put Wednesday night, and then you put the word bus, Wednesday night bus, and send that off, and they will get that to us. And we already want to thank those who have given on behalf of the Six Eyes Wednesday Night Bible Study, and God will richly bless you. All right. Ruthie, what kind of request do you got for us tonight?
Well, just praying for lost souls and Tim's problems, and I think Emily says she might have a good place maybe this time, and we'll see what happens.
Amen.
So we'll just keep that going.
Amen.
And she would say hi.
Hey, Ken.
Uh-huh.
On the way back down home, back here, there's a Hispanic couple. They're in from Puerto Rico. They had some kind of bad storm in Puerto Rico, and it took their house.
Okay. And then also you had a prayer request on your mom's behalf?
Yes, to be keeping the staff and residents out at Austinburg Rehab in prayer because there was a death out there today of a 97-year-old female. And Mom was really close to her, and it's got the entire staff and everybody all messed up out there.
Amen.
Also, be keeping my housing situation in prayer.
All right.
And with that, I'm complete, Ken.
All right. Of course, as Ruth started out, Tim and his situation over in Israel, the situation in Israel, all our government leaders need to seek after God, not after man, the military, of course, all our first responders, our all our medical leaders, and, of course, all the sick and shut-in, all the lost in general, especially that one who is nearest hell, and for all of our listeners and the Six Eyes Radio Network and the Blind Ministry. All right, Ruthie, we're going to let you open us in prayer, and then we're going to get right into the show tonight.
Or do you want Emily to do it? She said she would.
She wants to. Bring her on.
Okay. I'll bring it up to her, and then I'm going to put the light on here.
Oh, well. I know I'm on, right?
Go for it.
Lord, I thank you for this broadcast tonight. I ask you that everything that's said and done on this show is in your will and pleasing in your sight, Lord. I ask you for all these requests, Lord, that you be with each one, name by name, place by place. You be with that soul that's nearest hell, that they would reel up the white flag, surrendering their life over to you, God. I ask you for my cousin and I that we would find suitable housing because we are having time to bite us in the fanny, Lord. Be with everybody, our team here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, Tim over in Israel, and with our first responders and needs with our ministry, that you'd meet every one of those and that you'd be with the needs with the radio station, Lord. I ask this all in your name. Amen.
Amen. All right, and so here we go.
reaches out his hand. And I see Jesus standing by the shores. He's holding out his hand. He said, child, I am with you. I'll help you understand. Let me try to make you stronger. But trust me a little longer. I'll stand here. Just put your hand in my hand. Where I'm through, over on the peaceful shore, Jesus as the captain, will be home forevermore. So don't worry about tomorrow, your sickness, pain, or sorrow, mixes it all, he reaches out his hand. And I see Jesus standing by the shores, he's home.
My sin, oh.
Now it is time for the Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. This week we're going into Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8.
Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me.
Well, when was it the last time you heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And did you answer that call in the same way Isaiah did, saying, here am I, send me? Well, God told you that in his word in chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, go ye therefore into all nations. He told you to go already. He already told you to go. No matter who you are, big or small, male or female, rich or poor, he said, go ye therefore into all nations. It is your job to go. He already said to go. He has already sent you. So, go. He is sending you. Found in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. Amen. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address. 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S. E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you. And we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much.
My name is Anastasia, and I am Alana.
Go. And I am Autumn.
Hi, I am Ryan Journey.
And I am in Ariel.
Hi, my name is Journey, and we're donating toys so we can help the the homeless and the animal shelters.
Hi, my name is Autumn. Please contact James.
839 West Prospect Road. Asheville, Ohio.
On our little girl's third birthday, she got a sandbox in the backyard to play. Sand was everywhere as she played and she laughed. I fussed at her, for it killed all my grass.
It'll come back.
Inside.
Holiness Bibles for the Blind is a missionary outreach to the physically and spiritually blind. Our primary outreach goal is to the edification of the saved, reaching out to the lost, and helping those in distress, and the education of Christ's body as to the abilities, needs, and rights of those who are visually inconvenienced, and the special talents they can bring to God's church. God has challenged us to meet this goal in many ways. First off, with our appropriate outreach materials for the sighted and blind alike, such as large print, Braille and audio Bibles, tracts, and more. Then secondly, our sermons library, which is over 200 titles strong and growing. Topics range from loving the brethren, the false doctrines of the cults. You'll surely find food for your soul by checking out the entire set we have to offer. All sermons are totally free for the asking, as the Lord provides. Request one or as many as you want. Thirdly, our resources department of our ministry helps to answer the question, what is out there? By getting help finding training for blind children and adults, finding a summer camp or a handy gift idea for that blind friend or loved one. Finally, don't stay on earth without them. Find out more about the Extrabula Angels and how these messengers of mercy are a part of the ministry. Get a copy of their albums or book them before they fly away. You can find out more about Holiness Bibles for the Blind by visiting our website at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Again, Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Or you could call us at 1-440-789-9411. Again, 1-440-789-9411. You can also email us at holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, dot Bibles, plural, dot for, F-O-R, dot the, dot blind, at gmail.com. Again, that's holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, dot Bibles, plural, dot for, F-O-R, dot the, dot blind, at gmail.com. And finally, if you wish to give a love gift to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, go to paypal.com and enter the email address 2for1katie@gmail.com. That's digit number 2, F-O-R, digit number 1, katie@gmail.com. Again, digit 2, F-O-R, digit number 1, katie@gmail.com. After you've entered the email address, then all you've got to do is enter the amount of your love gift, and no matter how big or small, Holiness Bibles for the Blind thanks you very, very much, and God will richly bless you for your love gift. Amen. And now it is time for Tim Gruber and his Hebrew Word of the Week.
Shalom. Hello there, dear listener. This is Brother Timothy Gruber coming to you yet again with the Hebrew Word of the Week. And the Hebrew word for the week this week is to adopt. How you say in Hebrew to adopt. And the way you say to adopt in Hebrew is le-ametz. Le-ametz. That's L as in Lisa, E as in Edward, A as in Adam, M as in Michael, E as in Edward, T as in Thomas, S as in Stephen, Le'ametz, Le'ametz, T how you say to adopt in Hebrew. In Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 1 down through verse 6, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Again, verse 5 of Ephesians chapter 1. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And again, the Hebrew word for the week, to adopt, le-a-mets. L-E. A as in Adam. M as in Michael. E as in Edward. T as in Thomas. S as in Stephen.
Songs for years that tell the future fleet. When at the close of life, his wondrous fate we'll see. And we've heard for many years that when our name is called and we cross to heaven's shore,
they keep me safe. Join him in the sky.
carpenter to a rugged tree, thinking he would never build again. There they nailed him through his hands and feet. Still he carried out the master plan. And Jesus built a bridge to
And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're blind trucking in Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
Agony tore at my mind. I'm a statistic. And when I first got here, I felt very much alone. I was overwhelmed with grief, and I expected to find something. But, oh, I found no sympathy. I only saw thousands of others whose bodies were as badly mangled as mine. I was given a number and placed in a category. And the category was called traffic fatality. Now, the day I died was an ordinary school day. Oh, how I wish I'd taken the bus. But I was too cool for the bus. I remembered how I'd conned my mom out of her car that day. A special favor, I pleaded, because all the other kids drive. And when the 250 bell rang that day, I threw my books in my locker. I'm free until 8:40 tomorrow morning. Oh, I ran to the parking lot, excited at the thought of driving a car, being my own boss, being free. Now, it doesn't matter how the accident happened. I was just goofing off, I guess. Going a little too fast, smoking a little pot, taking crazy chances. But I was enjoying my freedom and having myself a ball. And the very last thing I remember was passing an old lady who seemed to be going awful slow. Then I heard the deafening crash and felt a terrific jolt. Glass and steel flew everywhere. My whole body seemed to be turning inside out. And then I heard myself scream. Suddenly I awakened, and it was very quiet. This police officer was standing over me. Then I saw this doctor. My body was so mangled, I was saturated with blood. Pieces of jagged glass were sticking out all over my body. And I thought it strange that I didn't feel anything. Hey, mister, don't pull that sheet over my head. I can't be dead. I'm only 17. I got a date tonight. I'm supposed to grow up and have a wonderful life. I can't be dead. But later, I was placed in a morgue on a cold slab. And my folks had to identify me. Oh, why did they have to see me like this? Why did I have to look into my mom's eyes when she had just been through the most terrible ordeal of her life? And my dad, he suddenly looked like an old man as he told the man in charge, yes, that's our son. And my father, it was a real experience. I saw all my relatives and friends walk towards my casket. They passed by one and looked at me with the saddest eyes I guess I'd ever seen. Some of my buddies were crying, and my girlfriend touched my hand and sobbed as she walked away. Please, somebody wake me up and get me out of here. I can't bear it to see my mom and dad so broken up, and my grandparents are so racked with grief they can barely walk, and my brother and sister are like zombies walking around in a daze. Please, somebody. No one can believe this, and I can't believe it myself. Please don't bury me. I can't be dead. I have a lot of living to do. I want to laugh and run again. I want to sing and dance. Oh, please don't put me in the ground. I promise if you give me one more chance, God, I'll be the most careful driver in the whole wide world. All I'm asking is one more chance, God. Please, I'm only 17.
Thank you. Really? Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again. And several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen.
This show is brought to you in part by Holiness Bibles for the Blind. You can find us on the web at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, 4, F-O-R, theblind.org. If you wish to give a donation to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, you can do so by going on our homepage at the bottom at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org, and you'll see a heart, and right under it, you'll see a link that says Love Offerings. Click that, and you'll be on our secure Love Offerings page where you can use your PayPal or credit card to give a secure donation. If you wish to give a donation to us by check or money order, you can also do so by sending your check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. Again, send any check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. Now, if you wish to make your love gift and send it to our bus on the donation there for the PayPal or the credit card on our secure PayPal, on our secure donation link there, right there on the website, where it says, what is this donation for? You could type in the word bus, B-U-S, bus. And if it's for Brother Timothy Gruber, you just type in either Timothy Gruber, Brother Tim, or the Word of the King. And we will be sure those donations get to the right place. If you're doing it via check or money order, in the memo line of your check or money order, just do the same. If it's for the bus, you put bus, B-U-S. If it's for Brother Timothy Gruber, put Brother Tim, Tim Gruber, or the Word of the King, and we will make sure it gets to its appropriate destination. And Holiness Bibles for the Blind, Brother Tim, all thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you for your love gift. Thank you. And now it is time for Timothy Gruber and his Word of the King.
My soul. Hello there. This is Evangelist Timothy Gruber coming to you with another edition of The Word of the King. I will, by the grace of God, be in the Queens, New York City area. And it is officially that time of the year when the Jewish people celebrate their holy day known as Yom Kippur, or Day of Atonement. And we're going to talk some more about the blood during this broadcast here on the Word of the King. And I would just like to mention Ecclesiastes 8, verse 4, where the Word of the King is, there is power who may say unto him, what doest thou? And pray for the souls up here, Jew and Gentile alike, to repent towards God through faith, towards our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah of Israel, who gave himself a ransom for all, payment for Jew and Gentile alike, whosoever shall call upon him shall be saved. Before I get into the topic today here on the Word of the King, I'd like to have a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we have, dear Lord God, come full circle once again to another Yom Kippur, another Day of Atonement, celebrated by the Jewish people, I'm reminded, dear God, of how the blood makes an atonement for the soul. And, Lord God, I pray for souls listening today, dear Lord God. For those that have yet to receive the atonement, dear Lord God, provided for by your only begotten Son, the Messiah of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ, but today would be the day, dear God, whereby they come to know the payment. And they receive that payment, dear Lord God, as their own, Lord God, so that they, dear God, would be washed white as snow, cleansed of all sins through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah of Israel, Yeshua HaMashiach. And Lord God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the great I Am you are, I pray that your spirit would go forth, dear God, dealing with souls, dear God, in this edition of the Word of the King, concerning their standing before you as transgressors of your holy law, your Torah, as said in Hebrew. And, Lord God, I pray, dear God, that through the proclamation of your holiness, you would take your law and use it as a schoolmaster to draw souls to Messiah, Jesus, and the atonement that has been provided through his blood shed upon the cross of Calvary and his resurrection from the dead for our justification. And I thank you, Father, that he is seated at your right hand. And as I'm reminded of the promise in Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto you, the living God, by him. May souls come unto you, the living God, by Jesus Christ our Lord, even as a result of this broadcast today. And for those who are saved, dear God, and listening, Lord God, may they, as a result of this broadcast, be provoked to all the more go forth, walking in all manner of holiness and godliness, as they, dear God, find themselves all the more thankful at the remembrance once more of what a great sacrifice was made by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For it's in Jesus' name I pray and give thanks. Amen. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. I read here in the King James Bible concerning this matter of atonement, payment, and the blood. In verse 10 of Leviticus 17, I will start. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn among you, eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. Verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Verse 12. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood. Verse 13, and whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, which hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof, and cover it with dust. Verse 14, it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, you shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. Now, when we consider this, God said in verse 14, speaking of the blood, it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh. For the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. This is another reason why we know of a certainty that when Jesus said what he said in St. John chapter 6, Jesus said this in St. John 6, there at the Passover prior to his being nailed to the cross as our ultimate Passover lamb, there at the Last Supper, he said this, verse 53, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Verse 54, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 55, my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Verse 56, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Now we know of a certainty that when Jesus said this, he was not telling his followers to literally drink his literal blood, like the Roman Catholic cult teaches with her tradition of man known as the Mass, transubstantiation. No. Jesus would never encourage his followers to literally drink his blood when, as the God of Moses, he condemned it. Here in Leviticus 17, verse 14, again it is written, it is the life of all flesh, the blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. And again, Jesus said in the context there, St. John 6, 63, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So again, Jesus in St. John 6, in the context of speaking of men eating his flesh and drinking his blood, he was speaking spiritually, symbolically, not literally, Roman Catholic. But again, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. It is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. God, in the context of the Exodus coming out there of Egypt, he made it very clear the priority of the blood on the doorpost. He made it very clear. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. It reminds me of the hymn. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Does God see the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, upon you, when he looks down on you? Are you trusting in the blood of the Messiah, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ? Is your atonement for sin? We're told in Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, that God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Justified, that means stand before God, just as if I never sinned. Here in Exodus chapter 12, we read the Passover being instituted, starting in verse 12. The Lord says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord, verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses which ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Verse 14. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. And so, we, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, Jew and Gentile alike, in this time, this dispensation, we have our remembrance of the Passover, albeit the Passover lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, in that ordinance known as communion or the Lord's Supper. And we're reminded of how God and his love bestowed upon us. He sees the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, upon each one of us as believers. We as believers, having received by faith the atonement which was provided through Jesus Christ, his sacrifice on the cross, we're told there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good, and sinneth not. And so, sin demands payment. We're told in Revelation 21, verse 8, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars from their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We're told in the letter 1 John, John, writing under inspiration of God, he writes, but if we are in the light as he, God, is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The sacrifice of Messiah is prophesied, laid forth in the book of Daniel. Chapter 9, it is written, verses 25 to 27. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, talking about in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, unto the Messiah the Prince, speaking of Jesus, Yeshua, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And yes, those were troublous times when those Jews, those children of Israel and Judah came out of Babylon and Syria, respectively. Verse 26 of Daniel 9, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and at the end of the war, desolations are determined. Now look at that. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. We're told in St. John 1, verse 12, but to as many as received him, then gave he power to become the sons of God, even for them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And in verse 11 of St. John 1, it is written, speaking of Jesus, the Messiah, coming to the Jewish people, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And so after 62 weeks, the Messiah was cut off out of the land of the living, according to the prophet Isaiah, as it's written in Isaiah 53, but not for himself. Isaiah makes it very clear, for the transgression of his people, he, Messiah, Yeshua, was stricken. Messiah Jesus stricken for the transgression of his people. We're told in Isaiah 53, verse 6, all we that sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So the praise be to God, the same Lord, over all, is rich unto all that call upon him, both Jew and Gentile, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As it is written, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, Messiah, shall not be condemned, shall not be ashamed, we're told. It says in Daniel 9, 26, and the people of the prince shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, that was speaking of the Roman armies, that prince, Titus, his Roman armies, sacking Jerusalem, around 69, 70 AD, it's estimated. And the end thereof shall be with the flood, and unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. Desolations, scatterings, there's the scattering of the Jewish people. Again, around 69, 70 AD, in connection with the destruction of Jerusalem at the hands of the Roman armies. Verse 27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. With the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined, shall be poured out upon the desolate, the scattered. So, let's look at the Torah, it's called in Hebrew. Let's consider the law, the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20. Start in verse 1. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, the Christ, put it this way. He said the first and greatest commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, and all thy strength. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Verse 5, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Again, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Jesus said, he was the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. Peter declared in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If you are looking any God other than the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he came down and humbled himself as a servant in the person of Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're looking at any other God besides him, then the one you call God is not God. And you are condemned as an idolater before God. And all idolaters, we're told in Revelation 21:8, shall bear part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. The idolaters shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Behold, you were shapen in iniquity, yet in sin did your mother conceive you. When I consider, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. You may not be bowed down to a statue of Buddha or a statue of Mary. And by the way, you ought not be bowed down to statues of Jesus either. We worship God in spirit and in truth. We walk by faith, not by sight. But again, you may not be bowed down to statues of Buddha, Mary, or any of the gods of the Hindu world, or any other so-called God that the devil has provided you. Simple man with. But how many of you listening bow down to the image that you see when you look in the mirror every day? You're guilty of worshiping and serving yourself as the creature more than the creator, God who is blessed forever. You're just as much an idolater. You're just as much an image worshiper. You best receive Jesus Christ, fullness of the Godhead bodily. And receiving him, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, receive the fullness of the Father, the fullness of the Son, and the fullness of the Holy Ghost. We're told that these three are one. In the book of 1 John, and again, in the book of Romans, it is written. Speaking of Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. May you be strong in faith, listener, giving glory to God. And like Abraham, may you be fully persuaded that what he had promised, he, as God, was able also to perform. Verse 22 of Romans 4. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. And you have the righteousness of God imputed to you, dear listener, and by faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're told in Romans 4:23. Now it was written, not for his sake alone, again, speaking of Abraham, that it was imputed to him, verse 24, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. Verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And then you jump down to Romans 5, verses 10 and 11. If, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, Jesus, much more than being reconciled, we should be saved by his life. Verse 11, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we have now received the atonement. Can you say, dear listener, that you joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ as one who has indeed received the atonement, the payment provided for by him, his shed blood? We're told in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 22. And we know that almost all things are by the law purged with blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. No remission, no forgiveness. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. Know ye not, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, by the Spirit of our God. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus said, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. We're told in the book of James, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. We're told that adulterers and whoremongers, God will judge in the book of Hebrews. Marriage is spoken of as being honorable in all. And again, for you effeminate, for you abusers of yourself of mankind, sodomite, homosexual. In the beginning, God made Adam and Eve. He did not make Adam and Steve. He did not make Molly and Eve. I tell you, neighbors, if you repent, ye shall all likewise perish, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. We're told in Peter's one epistle, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. We're told righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And sin is indeed a reproach to the United States of America before a holy God. We're told that the wicked should be turned into hell, and all the nations forget God, and America is no exception to that law. Thou shalt not kill. Have you ever had an abortion, dear listener, at your local Planned Parenthood or other butcher mill, they call an abortion clinic? Abortion is murder. God hates the hands of them that shed innocent blood. You have been a partaker in murder. You who have had an abortion, listening to this. You need the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, to cleanse you from all sin. And even as you call upon him to wash you from all your sins and make you whiter than snow, your very body, dear listener, will become the temple of God, the Holy Ghost. You will have God dwelling in you. You will have life in you more abundantly here and now, and that eternal, and that which is to come. This I say, brother, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither do corruption inherit incorruption. Oh, praise be to God. Are you ready for this? Dear listener, because it's coming. Verse 51, behold, I shew you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then it shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Can you say, dear listener, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? If you have Jesus Christ, the Spirit, abiding inside of you, you can say that, dear listener. If you can't say that, may you seek the Lord, while he may be found. May you call upon him while he is near. We're told, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You profess to be a Christian, yet you're not reading your Bible. You have no desire to read your Bible. You're not praying. You have really no desire to pray. Examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. You call yourself a Christian, but you have no desire to do the will of God? You're deceiving yourself as one deceived by the father of lies, who is the devil, Satan. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Use the name of Jesus Christ, use the name of God loosely, as a cuss word, or even to sing it Sunday morning in your hymnal or during your worship, but yet have your mind on the football game, what you're going to have for lunch. Those are all ways you use the name of God loosely in a way that is empty, and it's blasphemy. And all blasphemers shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, according to Revelation 21:8. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Again, thou shalt not kill. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Thou shalt not steal. You take anything that does not belong to you, the value is totally irrelevant. You take something that does not belong to you without permission, it's stealing. It's sin. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Again, all liars shall bear part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Thou shalt remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. 7th day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is in thy gates. In 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the 7th day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Appoint, make time for God. He's worthy of your submission, listener, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And if you come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in him alone to deliver you from the power and the wages of sin, which is death, and to be your personal Lord and Savior, to walk with, to talk with daily, desiring to be like him, conformed to his image, to have the meekness that he has, to have the humility that he has, because you will certainly never be God as he is God. Beware of the Mormons. They're liars. They're their father, the devil. Oh, but you are going to be conformed to his image, Christian. And all who believe on his name. We're told, Galatians 3:10, for as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone, continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Oh, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. I trust by now, dear listener, you're saying, sir, what must I do to be saved? Come unto Jesus. Come unto Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For it is written, in whom, speaking of Jesus, in whom we have redemption of his blood, the forgiveness of sin, riches of his grace. Revelation chapter 1. And we will now conclude with the word of the King, this verse. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, verse 6, hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This has been the word of the King. Till next week, this is Evangelist Timothy Gruber saying, God bless you and yours.
Hallelujah. And now it is that time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
Walk among us and then it shall fall away. Famine, war, and desolation, nation rising against nation, trouble everywhere you turn. As in the time of Noah, in the days before the flood, sin will cool the love of men, and the streets will run with blood. Rape and murder, grief and sorrow, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, this world is gonna burn.
Lesson is apostasy. There's a legendary tale which says that two Scotsmen came to California to make their fortune. One brought with him several Scottish thistles, the other arrived with a swarm of bees. result that today's fields in California are full of thistles. And continual harvest of honey from the labor of the bees is a productive industry. The thistles and the bees in this legend represent two different influences, one bad and the other good. This great big world in which we live is God's laboratory, and it contains the thistles and the bees. Regardless of the position each one of us occupies in this universe, our influence is felt. The outcome of the way we live our lives, the things we do and say, as well as the course we take on our journey down life's highway, is almost always according to our choosing. In the realm of civilization, modern, sophisticated mankind has journeyed 19 centuries beyond the first coming of Jesus Christ and the establishment of his church. Prior to the beginning of the New Testament church, mankind has undergone many rituals, vainly observing various forms of worship, and, without exception, as the scripture says, always went a-whoring with their own inventions. Psalm 106, verse 39. The human race has been the victim of its own choosing through those inventions. The inevitable result of man casting his lot has produced a lack of spirituality, which has deadened his responsibility to God and always produced an overripe harvest of the fruits of apostasy. When desires to discuss the subject of apostasy today, immediately the hasty and unjust accusation of opposing the ecumenical movement or being a crackpot relative to the cause of Christ is hurled with emotional fervor. Yet the overwhelming spirit of apostasy is evident in the realm of the church and the religious world and definitely carries with it inevitable and disastrous results upon all concerned. The organized church has consistently been the fountainhead of gross error and has acted in a manner which has perpetuated apostasy. Upon examining the word apostasy, we find that it has a straightforward meaning, an abandoning of what one believes in as a faith. In other words, when apostasy overtakes an individual, a family, a church, or a large body of so-called Christians, a denomination, it promptly signals the fact that there has begun, or there is an embryo state, a desertion from the faith, which will eventually bring a turning about in a reverse direction. The ultimate outcome of such will be a renunciation of spiritual obligations by the individual or the group. Allow the scriptures to clarify this grave matter to us. Scripture, certain men, the children of Belial, are gone out from among you and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods which ye have not known. Deuteronomy 13, 13, KJV. Scripture again, but Jerusalem, of symbolic name of Israel, waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Deuteronomy 32:15, KJV. This latter verse of scripture clearly states that God recognized Israel as justified and upright in his sight. Later apostasy crept in, the nation forsook God, rejected the rock of their salvation, and deliberately provoked God through their persistent sinning to such a point that they were deeply abhorred in God's sight. That's a pretty bad mess for a nation to be in, isn't it? Imagine being utterly disposed by God. Their grievous condition was brought upon Jeshurun, Israel, through the sin of apostasy. Read this next verse of scripture very carefully and try to imagine the far-reaching extent of apostasy in the religious world today. Scripture, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith or become apostate, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That's 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. In light of God's eternal word, the creeping paralysis of apostasy cannot be localized or minimized today because historically and presently, we see the downward, loathsome trail of apostasy consistently twisting its way around and through the hearts of mankind in a rebellious renunciation of the sacred spiritual obligation God has placed upon his creation. Apostasy was evident in Old Testament days, and we must recognize it as being so in our day. In Jeremiah's rebukeful message to apostasy-ridden Judah, Jeremiah 2:8, the prophet carefully lays the blame of spiritual neglect on the front doorstep of three distinct classes of people. Number one, the priests. Those men responsible for teaching, instructing, and transmitting God's law to the individual. The general result of their labor should have been the building of Israel in spiritual matters. They were God's authorized representatives between him and the people. The law was well known, and the priests had been appointed to teach it, so that future generations would be solidified in God's desired way of life. Number two, the pastors, civil rulers. Those men responsible for shepherding the flock, they were guilty of feeding themselves without feeding Israel. They oppressed their subjects, scattered and divided the flock, failed to protect the congregation, and ignored the true condition of their charge. In so doing, they committed the sin of personal apostasy. Number three, the prophets. The preachers of that day, responsible for rebuking, correcting, and instructing the people in times of failure by the priests and civil rulers, they likewise became the victim of apostasy. Apostasy is not new. It's as old as the human race, and as perverted as the crooked, evil hearts of wayward mankind. In his time, Jesus foretold of a day and age when apostasy would abound. He informed his chosen disciples regarding the coming dreadful evil in this manner. Here's the scripture. Then they shall deliver you up to the afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all men, nations for my name's sake. And shall many be defended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Matthew 24, verses 9 to 14, KJV. The Bible is filled with specific warnings against the continued encroachment of apostasy into man's spiritual way of life, always presenting the probable danger of the sin of spiritual deterioration, which can so easily befall the unsuspecting individual who is not scripturally so solidified in the Word of God, and may I further say, who does not keep himself continually spiritually fortified, ready to oppose the forces of evil on an hour-to-hour, day-by-day basis. It's an absolute must for all Christians in this day and age to be extra precautious in all religious and spiritual matters. That's why the Bible says, Scripture, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14:12, Scripture, beloved believers, believe not every spirit, but try, examine the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. This is 1 John 4:1, KJV. Apostasy is much like a cancer in the body. It can hopelessly cripple the spiritual organs of a person before he realizes he has fallen victim to its disastrous effects. A distressing condition which has come upon the religious world is set forth in the parable of the sower. As the sower went forth to scatter his seed, the word of God, some was sown by the wayside, some in stony places, and some among thorns. None of the seed falling into either of these three types of ground, which are synonymous of the human heart, was fruitful. Only that which was sown in the good ground produced some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Matthew 13, 23, KJV. It's so easy to be just a church member and not a born-again child of God, not possessing the Spirit of God in the heart, having only gone through the formal motions of 20th century Christianity, and so doing become an apostate, a renegade to the cause of Christ and his church while in the local church. We see this condition existing all over the world today. Although church membership is at an all-time high, a wholesale exodus from the church is also an all-time high because of the general spirit of apostasy prevailing in organized Christianity. Folks who were on fire for God 5 years ago, folks who were zealous and enthusiastic 10 years ago for the cause of Christ, cannot be found in the church or involved in the work of Christ. Many of them have unknowingly allowed the circumstances to extinguish the fires of godly zeal which they originally had in their hearts simply because the seed, the word of God, fell by the wayside into stony places or among thorns. Please remember, Satan desires that not one person be saved. If that were possible, he would trick every soul into going to hell with him. There was no new birth in the hearts of the foregoing mentioned individuals. Yes, there was a temporary reformation, but that was all. The only natural result to come from such a condition is apostasy, a turning away from that which they professed. Some of you may not agree with what I'm saying in this lesson, but God knows, and you know it is the truth. There are six general indications of apostasy which reveal when a person is on dangerous spiritual ground. Here they are. Number one, turning away from God in the heart. In other words, when the desire of the heart is no longer in tune with the things of God, it's because the long tentacles of damning apostasy have begun to strangle one's love for his maker. I'm thinking of a young man who several years ago would have cut off his right hand for or arm for God if he had been asked to do so. I'm sincere in making this statement. Today, 10 or 12 years later, I doubt if he ever reads his Bible. Mutual friends may say he never goes to church and he is primarily interested in making money. Apostasy got him. Number two, idolatry. This does not necessarily mean that a person has made a golden calf or set it up in his backyard and worships it. Idolatry is not only a worship of idols, but it is also an excessive devotion of reverence relative to any particular thing or way of life, or hero worship of a person other than Almighty God. How many of us, are, one time or another in our Christian life, have been guilty of idolatry? How many people have fallen away from the things of God because the preacher they worshiped got tripped up by Satan? This, my dear listener, is one of the marks or identifications of a person who has entered on the downward road of rejecting divine truth, leading to eternal separation from God. Idolatry is a form of apostasy. Number three, zeal. In leading others away from God, a person runs the risk of becoming a root of gall and bitterness to them. By this I mean, whether unknowingly and ignorant of the facts or not, an individual who through his zealous desire to manifest oneself shares a newfound theory, doctrine, or religion can become an immediate instrument of apostasy. To understand the truth of the statement, all one has to do is look around the world on an international scale, religiously speaking, and behold the tremendous effort of propagating false doctrines, glamoring false prophets, and such, which is undeniable evidence on every hand. Some of God's children are actually guilty of supporting apostate voices by radio and through literature, who operate under the disguise of getting out the gospel of Jesus Christ. This hypnotic condition has created an irrational misuse of God's money throughout the world by an irrational use of God's money throughout the world by misguided folk who think they are helping to spread the word of God. Apostasy has crept in and unarmed them of their ability to know what is gospel truth. Number four is pride. Boy, this is a tough one. This self-esteem of conceit causes one to laugh at sin and make light of evil. In the realm of Christianity, there are those folks who pride themselves on doing what the world does if they give the impression that they retain their Christ-likeness. Such contemptible actions include wife-swapping, divorces, crooked financial dealings, gambling, and alcoholism. Plus, dishonesty and genital, as well as many of the common everyday vices practiced by unbelievers. Such folks say, I'm saved, so I can do what I want to do. I won't be lost. I'm under the blood. Solomon said, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are ways of death. Proverbs 16:25. Apostasy leads the soul to hell. The sin of pride put King Nebuchadnezzar on the hillside for 7 years without his understanding. Pride always feels the cancer of apostasy. Five, vain imaginations. This bewildering step usually steps from an overpositive attitude wherein the individual places no restraints or restrictions upon his overpowering desire to achieve, accumulate, or possess whatever his heart desires. When contrary to the will of God, this positive attitude approach always leads to heartaches and disappointments. I knew one man with an overabundance of this attitude in his makeup who spent much time in the penitentiary as a result of the exercising of his vain imaginations. He wanted to be a millionaire. Someone told him to imagine he was a millionaire. Just think he was, and it would come true. He went that route and paid for his vain imaginations behind bars. This diabolical monster also moves and has his being in the world of Christianity. Number six, self-gratification. This practice is the base animal instinct, being fed daily with no effort made to restrain or subdue the fleshly lust so the spiritual man can become stronger. This doorway of human ecstasy can very readily lead to apostasy. These six marks of an apostate individual are evident in all walks of our modern society, and when practiced and purged or pursued singly, or group together generally lead to a disordered state of apostasy, bringing the individual into stern judgment before God. The Almighty pronounces his judgment upon such apostates in this manner. Number one, no mercy will be shown. Scripture, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Hebrews 10:26, KJV. Number two, God's fierce anger will be against those who are guilty of such unfaithful allegiance. Scripture, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall be he thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified, and a holy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Hebrews 10, verses 28 and 29, KJV. Number three, he will lay upon them all the curses written in the Bible. Scripture, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. James 4:17, KJV. Scripture, he that rejecteth me and receive not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. John 12:48, KJV. Number four, he will blot out their names from under heaven. Scripture, let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. Psalm 69:28. Scripture, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Revelation 3 and verse 5, KJV. 5. He will separate them from the righteous to be punished. Scripture, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. 2 Peter 2:9, KJV. Number 6, he will make them examples of his wrath to coming generations. Scripture, turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Psalm 85, verses 4 through 5, KJV. But please know, there's a positive security against apostasy. The Word of God gives a definite plan for those who will walk the straight and narrow way. Please read these next two scriptures or verses of Scripture and revel in the security of God's children. We are not immune to apostasy, but we are endowed with the power to resist it. Scripture, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans 8:1, KJV. Scripture, who, the born again, are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. 1 Peter 1:5, KJV. Apostle Paul, a man who had a constant battle with his lower nature, gave wonderful and helpful advice to all who would feel the pulling influence of apostasy upon their lives. He declared, Scripture, but I keep my body and bring it into subjection under control, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away. 1 Corinthians 9:27, KJV. Paul considered his physical body an enemy against the Spirit of God, so he endeavored daily to keep it under control by self-denial, abstinence, and self-mortification. He kept his body in slavery to the soul, never allowing his soul to become a slave to his body. He didn't hobnob with his intrinsic lower nature because he knew it would be a means of spiritual defeat to him. Finally, the Apostle John tells us, but if we walk in the light as he, Christ, is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1 and verse 7, KJV. One day in 1874, when David Livingstone, the great missionary to Africa, was buried in Westminster Abbey, the streets of London were lined with thousands of folk who were seeking to pay their reverential respect to the memory of the pioneer missionary statesman. In the silent waiting crowd was a poor old man who was embarrassingly unkempt and poorly clad. He was weeping bitterly as though his heart was breaking. Someone asked him why he was weeping when everyone else was seeking to honor the illustrious dead missionary. I'll tell you why, the old man said. David Livingstone and I were born in the same village, went to the same school, and worked together in the same room. David went his way and I went my way. Now he's honored by our nations and the Christian world, and I'm neglected, unknown, and dishonored, with absolutely nothing to look forward to but a drunkard's grave. Bye, dear listener. power of choice can be a tremendous blessing, or it can be a bitter, exasperating curse. Apostasy, one of the clever tools of Satan, is sweeping the world, and many unsuspecting victims are making a fatal choice, not knowing the inevitable consequences which are involved. May you not be hasty in making such decisions, but bathe your considerations and ultimate conclusions in the warm, all-wise influence of the Holy Spirit. Make sure that you remain profoundly true to God, His Son, the Holy Spirit, and the written word, the Bible. You alone possess the power of choice. You can keep on the straight and narrow way, or you can allow yourself to follow the crowd down the broad way, which leads to destruction. Matthew 7:13, KJV, that's the way of apostasy. Jack London's Call of the Wild tells about the magnificent St. Bernard dog, the pet of a wealthy Californian, which was stolen and sold to a Klondike foreigner, or freighter. In his new environment, the dog became a monster, a vicious wild animal, the old wolf instincts, which had lain dormant during the life of the dog, were psychologically aroused by the hard, grim conditions necessary for existence in the regions of the far north. The dog fought with snarling, ravenous wolves, and naturally only the strongest stayed alive. When his owner died, the dog ran wild with the wolf pack and eventually fought his way to the leadership of the pack. The beautiful St. Bernard dog became of a beast of prey, the reason being there was something in his nature which responded to the call of the wild. The old nature had been temporarily subdued while the dog was a pet, but under the new unfavorable conditions, the domestication disappeared and the combative wild animal instincts were ruthlessly exposed. It's exactly why we Christians must put on the whole armor of God day by day, because every one of us has an old man character which is dangerously evil all the way down to the marrow in our bones. There are old wolf instincts in all of us, and if we aren't particularly careful, we will find ourselves responding to the temptations of life, which could only lead us down the road of apostasy, seemingly without our being able to do anything about it. But thank God, greater is He, Christ, that is in you, than he, Satan, that is in the world. 1 John 4:4, the Lord who helps us to strengthen the inner man can also help us to strengthen the outer man, and in that way we'll escape the evils of apostasy in our personal lives. Please remember, an apostate is beyond the hope of salvation if he has definitely rejected the one and only way of cleansing from sin, the Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture, for if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcame, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For if he had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it's happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. That's 2 Peter 2, 20 to 22, KJV. Mankind is only as strong as the thing in which he commits himself. To start to sail across the ocean in a cardboard box would be utter foolishness. As soon as the box became waterlogged and that wouldn't take for long, it would sink. The man in the box would be drowned. If a man starts across the ocean aboard a modern steamship, he would not only make the journey safely. If a man commits or yields himself to his flesh, he will be as weak as his flesh. If he commits himself to God, he will be sick so as to stand for eternity. And the next lesson will be true Bible prophecy.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
Hello, my name is Ian of Asheville, Ohio. I run a lawn care business, Nash Lawn Care. I primarily cut grass, trim, and shovel snow. I also help those with disabilities, offering to cut for free. If you want to contact me, you can at 1-440-754-2061, and the number again is 440-754-2061. Please remember, I only do lawns in Ashtabula, Ohio. Thank you, and have a great day.
If you'd like to get a copy of this show or any of the shows here at the Skies Radio Network, here's how you can go about doing that. First off,
If you have a smartphone or tablet, just go to the podcast section on your smartphone or tablet and enter Six Eyes Radio. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space R-A-D-I-O. After you've entered that and clicked enter, then you'll see us pop up there. And once we do, just click subscribe. And once you do, you'll have us right there at your fingertips 7 days a week. And you'll be able to listen to us morning, noon, or night, anytime at your desire, any time of the week. If you're an Android or Apple user, you will first need to download the iHeartRadio app. The iHeartRadio app. Once you've downloaded iHeartRadio, then you do the same procedure. You go to iHeartRadio, click on that app. Then, when you're on there, you type in their search box, Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space, radio, R-A-D-I-O. Once you've done that, click enter. You'll see us pop up there. Then click subscribe, and you'll have us 7 days a week. And you'll be able to enjoy. Amen. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIX-EYES, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay-to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And finally, of course, if you're wishing to donate to the bus that Six Eyes is in conjunction with Holiness Bibles for the Blind, remember, all you got to do is with one of those options that we just gave, the 6i6 at gmail.com, again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. When you go on PayPal, you just also, in the box where it asks for the what your donation is for, you enter the fact that the name of the show, Wednesday Night Bible Study, or just Wednesday Night, or Wednesday Night Bible Study, or Wednesday Bible Study will do. And then you put the word bus after that, Wednesday Night Bible Study bus, okay, or Wednesday Night bus. Either way will work. And then if you're using Cash App, do the same thing. You go to Cash App, you enter the dollar sign, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases you enter the amount of your love gift, and then in the box there you would put Wednesday Night Bus, Wednesday Night Bus, or Wednesday Night Bible Study, and the word bus. But either way, just enter that information, and of course they will get the money to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, and God will richly bless you. All right, Ruth, who do we got here at the end as we pull into the station?
Well, we have Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels, you and me.
All right, well, obviously, I think everything was good, so Ruthie, why don't you give us a closing prayer, unless you got any comments, and give us a closing prayer, and we'll say God bless and good night.
I can pray. That's good. All right, dear precious Lord, in the name of Jesus, we love you so much tonight, and you can think of the prayer request that Emily had about her mom and about the situation with her getting this apartment. Just, you know, have your will in that. And be with Tim as he tries to work out there in Israel for you and while the war going on and everything. And help us with our bus. And I know you'll take care of that. And just want to praise your name tonight and be with my pain in my knees tonight. It's especially bad, so I don't know what's causing it, but I've been having a lot of pain today. So I just want to praise and bless your name. We love you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. God bless everybody, and don't forget to check out the programs tomorrow. God bless everyone.